This is God's Word coming to you from Christ Family Ministry, the best place to be where love is king. It's one gospel, one faith, reaching one person at a time, and together we're filling the earth with the beautiful message of our Lord Jesus Christ, presenting every man mature in Him.
First Peter chapter 2, we'll read the first three verses. The Bible says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Say amen. Amen. Has anybody yet tasted of God's graciousness? The pure milk of God's word. God is good. One translation says, if you have tasted of his goodness. The grace of God is the goodness of God. Romans chapter 12. We'll read two verses there. Verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, put your name there. I beseech Arome, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Praise God. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that when Paul was praying for the Thessalonian church, he prayed that God would sanctify them and preserve their whole spirit, soul, and body blameless until the day of his coming. You know, most times people like to say that man is a spirit that has a soul and lives in a physical body. Well, I used to say that a lot before. But man is actually a spirit, man is soul, and man is body. Your body is your body. Your body is you. So if I give you a slap, you won't say, well, no problem. Since you just slapped my body, you didn't touch me. You're going to react. Are you getting me? But there's an order in which it should come. And the order is that there is a spirit, and then there is a soul, and then there is a body. But when we are born physically, we are more conscious, and we are taught to be more conscious in growing up of our bodies than our very rare cases, some of us are taught to acknowledge that we have a spirit. Are you getting me? But most times, the things we begin to learn are things that border around how our surroundings grow, our surroundings operate, and then how the soul or our intellect. Because the mind, the soul, is where you have your will, is where you have your emotions, is where you have your soul. So it's with your mind you make decisions. Like you made a decision to be church tonight, two of us. It's a decision. So anytime you say, I will, I'm going to do this, it is not God making you do it. It is you saying, I'm going to do this. And the decision-making center of the man is his soul. When you feel pain, you feel grief, you feel happy, you're excited, that is your soul. Then it's inside your soul that you have your cognitive abilities. That's where you learn to remember things, you learn to forget things. You learn to, you know, it's like a computer. That's where you save your stuff. And when we get born again, we don't have a memory wipe. You know, we still remember who is owing us. We can go and collect our money. You understand? So that's because it's been saved. It's saved. It's you have a place. You kept it. So And if you have a scar, a physical scar in your body, when you get born again, it's still there. But of course, you can believe God for a miracle. But all we're just saying is that when a man gets born again, it's his spirit man that comes alive. Are you with me? Then that spirit man is reconnected to God, because it's with our spirit that we connect with spiritual entities. So listen now. When we say that a man is dead spiritually, we are not saying his spirit is not active. Because there are people who are not born again who have trained their spirit, are you getting me, to make contact with the spiritual world. Because the spiritual world is real. It's an unseen world, but it's there. It's an unseen world, but it's there. But what we mean by spiritual death is that that spirit man is disconnected from God. Are you with me? Is disconnected from God. A dead phone is not the same thing as a useless phone. So that means if you power that phone, it will be able to connect to a network and it will still serve its purpose. So when a man is not born again, he is disconnected from God. So we say he's dead. The word death means separation. He's spiritually separated from God, but he could be spiritually alive to Satan. So he can contact spirits, he can contact demons. Can I even surprise you? Amen. He can even make contact with God. So some of you begin to wonder how in the Bible certain prophets who were not like Balaam, who was a sorcerer, could be talking with God. Why could he talk with God? He had a spirit. He's a man that developed his spirit so he could talk with God, but it doesn't mean he was alive to who? To God. I know some of you are still looking at me. Adam fell. After Adam fell, he was still talking to God. But do you know, as at the time God was having that conversation with Adam in Genesis chapter 3, Adam had already fallen short of the glory of God. So to be spiritually alive in Christian context actually means to have received the life of God. You are no longer disconnected from the life of God. It doesn't mean you cannot interface with the life of God anymore. So with our spirits, we connect with the spiritual world. With our minds, we connect with the intellectual world. That's why you're able to learn things. You know, they teach someone. You have your bend, and then you say, okay, this person is a lawyer. This person is this. You can understand certain skill. You know how certain things are done. That's your soul at work. And then, of course, you have a body which is like an earth suit that you need, and God gave it to you. What I'm saying is that every part of you is important. Do you understand me? Now, most times we don't have a problem growing physically. You've been doing that at least since you were born. Also, I think. We don't have a problem growing spiritually. We don't have a problem, growing physically. We don't even have too much of a problem growing mentally. But very few Christians seem to get what it means to grow up spiritually. And listen, your spiritual growth is very, very what? Is very important, because growing up spiritually is going to determine largely how effective you are on earth. If you develop just physically, there is a measure of success you can have. There is a measure of thing you can do. But you all agree with me that people who are mentally developed do better than people who are physically developed. You understand? You know, that's why the man who goes to school is better paid than the man who does the menial job. Because mental work is at a higher plane than physical work and produces more results. But can I speak to someone? When a man is developed spiritually, I'm telling the truth, it will outweigh the gains of physical and mental growth. I didn't hear anybody say amen there. Amen. So a lot of times I've got a lot of Christians. We want to develop physically. You know, we have routines in the gym. We have places we register. If you are registered with a gym, let me see your hand. I mean, you should. Amen. Oh, you don't. Why? Amen. You should take your health, you know, very seriously. You know, how many of you? Okay. How many of you work out at least once a month? Because once a week might be asking for too much. But you should have something you do weekly. I'm speaking to you from experience. Amen. You should have something to do weekly. You should give attention to your body, because no matter how energetic you are emotionally and spiritually, you need your body to be able to operate in this physical world. Do you get me now? And then it's good to pursue some form of mental, develop the soul, learn things. We've placed a lot of emphasis there. But you are incomplete, or you are imbalanced with a weak spirit. Do you understand me? So, if you have any order in which you pursue growth, you should pursue your spiritual growth, are you getting me, in a more fervent manner than your physical growth. Because it's going to do you more good. Where we read in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter said, now as newborn babes, he said, desire the sincere milk of God's word, whereby you may grow. Why? Growth is God's desire for every child of his. I'm yet to see any parent that say, well, this is my baby, he's been like this for the last 8 years, but we give God praise. I'm yet to see one baby like that. So listen, heaven does not celebrate spiritual infancy. Heaven doesn't celebrate spiritual stagnation. Amen. Heaven loves spiritual babes, but it doesn't celebrate spiritual babies. Because imagine us all in this room, since we're all born, we've never grown. We won't help anybody much, two of us. So growth is necessary for progress. Yesterday somebody put something on Facebook that made me laugh. They had 100 little kids, I think between the ages of probably 5 to 8. They had about 100 of them on a pitch and 3 professional players. And it was 100 children against 3 professional footballers. And of course, guess who won? The professionals won, because the kids ended up scoring themselves. Because there were many. And the guy wrote, listen, the guy said, that's exactly what happens when management thinks that you can use 100 unqualified people in the place of 3 qualified people. And I said, and that's the mistake we make when we think that 100 well-developed minds can do better than 3 developed spirits. Amen. So you don't do much for heaven being a baby Christian. So if all we have is just a bunch of baby Christians in heaven, we're not going to make progress. Let me read the scripture to you. It's not in my note, but I sense strongly to read it. All right. Ephesians chapter 4. The reason God gave you a pastor, the reason God gives us 5-fold ministry gifts, before I read verse 13, it's not so that you can just say, wow, I have a great pastor. It's not so you can say, wow, my pastor is the best. As we'll be seeing later, that's the peak of childishness. It's not so that you can have someone say, okay, this is our leader. Thank God. It's all to care for you and check you when you're emotionally drained. That's not all. The Bible says the purpose for the 5-fold ministry gifts. Are you getting me? Verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. What is their work? To equip you. So if you have a pastor that is not equipping you, something is wrong. What does it mean to equip? It's to give somebody equipment. What's the purpose of equipment? To be effective. That means The reason for the fivefold ministry gifts is so that believers can be thoroughly what? Believers, every time you come to church, you should leave with something to know how to use it somewhere. Not just having a great time. Oh, wow. No. The Bible says so that the body of Christ, the saints will be equipped for what? For the work of the ministry, so that you're productive. It says for the edifying of the body. So the spiritual growth eventually leads to the edifying of the body. A church filled with just baby Christians will not grow. So the individual growth of every church member, am I talking to someone? The individual growth, spiritual growth of every church member is what leads to effective service that brings about growth. Say amen if you understood what I just said. He says, till we, put your name there. Amen. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be what? Children. Who are children? People who are tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of teaching. By the trickery of who? In the cunning craftiness of deceitful what? Plotting. Some Christians can't tell their left from their right. They don't even know what meetings to attend and what meetings not to attend. They don't know where to go and not where to go. You know, if you put poison in front of a child and you're not there to guide the child will eat that food. Do you understand me? So the Bible says, we no longer have to be children. Tell your neighbor, you can't remain a child. You can't remain a child. God expects you to do what? He expects you to grow. So you are not tossed to and fro. That means you are established. You know what it means to be in Christ Jesus. I was having a political conversation with some people the other day, and when they were talking, I just discovered that some Christians don't even know what it means to walk in the fullness of Christ, and they don't even know what it means to be a Christian in a civil space. And I was telling Pastor Steve that, no, Christianity is not a religion. You ought to know what you're in. The Bible is the most relevant book, is the most practical book that you can use in your everyday life. You don't need to be tossed to and fro. There are all kinds of things marketed out there. But what does Scripture say concerning you? Not just in the Christian space. I'm talking of business. So growth brings stability. In the book of John chapter 16, I think verse 12, Jesus said, I have many things yet to say to you, but you cannot bear them. Meaning that there are things that you cannot access as a baby Christian. You need maturity to be able. There are certain truths and revelations that you cannot access if you remain as a baby Christian. And truth determines your effectiveness in life. I have said this year probably 100 times. You can't do better than you know, even spiritually. I was talking to someone the other day. I said, you know, we're talking about a particular man of God and the issues he's been facing. I said, if I'm in the same situation, I know what to do. I know what to do. Someone said, why can you speak with so much certainty? I have been there. And I know what to do. I said, my greatest pity for him is that he doesn't know what to do. So maturity is when you know what to do. With maturity comes the ability to be able to handle life's issues. Amen. I look at my sons. I have two sons. you know. Sam will be 10. Justin is about 2, going to 2, yeah. And I remember when Samuel was 2. And sometimes if Justin wants to do something, I'll see the way Samuel will say, no, that's not how to do it. You don't even know how to. And in my mind, and like, I remember when you were there. But there are certain things that Sammy cannot bring to, Justin can bring to me now. Hallelujah. That Sam cannot bring to me. Because it's expected that he should know what to do. If after 10 years he doesn't know what to do, then something is wrong with me or him. Can I speak to you?
Yes,
let me shock you. There are certain things that your faith can carry that in the early days of your walk with God, other people's faith will carry you. But it is expected after a period of time in the things of God, other people's faith cannot carry you. You will come to a place where you need to mature and handle those things yourself. For example, pastor will not always pray for you and you get answers. That's why some Christians are always changing church. Not because something is wrong, it's because they're not growing. And no matter how many places you go to, eventually there are things that you will need to be able to carry yourself. There was a time your parents carried you on their backs in the car everywhere to move you around. If they still do that now, you are sick. So when people meet me, sometimes they say, Pastor, why is this thing taking so much time? Why am I not doing this? Why am I not seeing this? You know what the signs just simply are pointing to? It's time to do what? Grow. Listen, there are many experiences that some believers have that only growth can solve. Not prayer. It's just a call, grow. Does God still love you? Yes. All my sons have accounts. All my daughter has an account. My sons have, my children have accounts. And there's money inside there. I'm not talking of by faith account. But they cannot access the money. They don't know how to even go about it. Growth is required to know how to go and take that money. But the money is theirs. Growth is required to take what is yours in Christ Jesus. Can I speak to someone now? Take your spiritual growth seriously. Prioritize your spiritual growth. You know, today I spent time reading Paul's letter from the Message translation to the Corinthians. And wow, you know, it was so refreshing reading it again. Because like Paul was just solving problems. The Corinthian church had issues. Issues. Their first issue was, who is the greatest man of God? They said, Apollos is the greatest man of God. Some said, it's Paul. Others said, no, you. Who got you born again? Say, Paul. Paul doesn't have anointing now. Come and check Apollos. Some said, it's Apollos. These were heavy arguments. And then they were competing. And as I read the Corinthian church, I said, wow. I can see Corinthian Christians. Corinthian-like Christians. You know, some Christians don't read their Bible other than analyze which man of God is the greatest. They don't even know the Christ they serve. But they say, Reverend Jegegege, what? That is the man. You know, the other time I was there, no, you've not met Reverend Jegegege. You know, when you go and see Pastor Jegegege, you know, those are the kind of things they're arguing about. Always talking about other people's experiences. You say, have you heard of Reverend Morris? that man has money, man. They never rise to anything. And that's the kind of thing. I don't have a problem. Maybe I should be honest. I have a problem with some of these things we do in the body of Christ, like top 10 Christians, top 10 pastors, that's crap. Amen. Those are just symptoms of immaturity. When people are idle, nothing to do. So you say, no, we're trying to create Christian platforms. No, we're not called to conform to cultures. Am I talking to somebody? We are called to revamp it, to transform it. We are transformers, not conformers. But you know, Helen Baylor used to bless me a lot, and her testimony was so inspiring. She was into entertainment before she got saved. And then some of you know her story. You know, she and her husband used to do drugs. Then one day they were just doing their drugs and watching Casey Price. And they said, what's that preacher saying? You know, they were weeding. But thank God for Christian television. That's how she got saved. As I go into Crenshaw Christian Center, and became an, you know, she and her husband began to sing for Christ. And, some of our songs became national hits. You know, in America, if they say your song is a national hit, it's like you have covered the whole of Africa. Not in Nigeria, if they say a national hit, and it's because of Abuja. That's what we're talking. You know, and she was all over the nation. She was all over America. So she said at some point, I wasn't hearing of her again, and finally, she had relapsed after many years, gone back into taking drugs, doing cocaine and all that. And she was still in church, doing Christian this thing. And what was that? You know, the producers just saw that, there's a money-making opportunity here. She was doing tours. They're taking her around America. And she said it was about this person's show was this number, so we need to organize something bigger, and you need to move into the first this, into the first that. And she was coming under this heavy weight of performing. And at some point, she said, when she's even singing to the people, she couldn't feel that joy that she's ministering. It was more of just trying to meet the producer's expectation, the companies she had signed with. She said at some point she was depressed, she was empty, and the only way she could fill that void was to go back to cocaine. Until God pulled her out again. God always does. So as I read through the book of 1 Corinthians, I saw a letter Paul wrote. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. All right, okay. He said, I'm not writing all this as a neighborhood scold just to make you feel rotten. I'm writing as a father to you, my children. I love you and want you to grow up well, not spoil. We shouldn't have spoiled Christians. You answered as though you are a spoiled Christian. I said we shouldn't have spoiled Christians. That means a true pastor who truly loves you will see to it that you grow. Because you are going to be of great value to yourself, to God, and to the church when you grow. Say amen. And what a great church that church turned out to be. Because that church was filled with all manner of issues. But Paul was diligent to teach them. Say amen. Amen. So, Romans chapter 12 now, verse 2. Now, spiritual growth, the process of spiritual growth is what leads to transformation. And transformation is a shift from one position to another. It's a shift from one position to another. And let me add, a shift that is visible. I'm not a politician, but I was surprised when somebody said that Nigeria is transforming, just that we don't know. I said, oh, really? We truly don't know. Do you get me? Because if we're experiencing transformation, we should be the ones saying we are transformed. You get what I'm saying? So if you want to experience changes in your life and see everything in Scripture become a reality in your life, growth is important. You cannot be transformed without growth, Meaning spiritually, where you are right now is where you will probably be in the next 10 years if nothing happens spiritually. You can't desire to win a gold medal at the Olympics and never go out on the track. You will just exist in the realm of what? Wish. So growth is important. Growth is what leads to what? To transformation. So Romans chapter 12 verse 2, New King James. Is somebody blessed? So do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. Somebody say transformed.
Transform.
Now this is where we're going to extract. That word transformed there is the Greek word metamorphosis, which actually means to change from one form to another irreversibly. So what that word is saying is that if spiritually you make progress and you move from one place to another, you can't return to where you used to be. How many of you want to experience transformational living? Did you get that? So, the same way physically we are changed. Come on. Aren't you all transformed here? Have you taken some of your pictures? You know, I think they were doing one 10 years challenge or something like that. How many of you saw yourself? If you didn't do it, but you saw some of your pictures. Did you ever believe you were there? You know, in 20 years, 10 years from now, you will look at today and be laughing. Were we ever like this? I think some of you, the way maybe you look at yourself right now, you just like, wow, can anything be better than this? You know, when I was doing my IGMB, we were preaching on campus, so we went and got all these bend down boutique suits, and we're preaching prosperity. Because even our lecturers could not even wear what we're wearing. And we're looking so nice. And I had this friend that brought four for me. So I was just feeling myself. I was feeling myself, man of God. You know, anytime I wear those suits, I didn't used to think there was any difference between me and Copeland. You know, when I look at Copeland, I used to feel we're rolling on the same level. Until somebody recently brought the picture out. And there was a picture we all took, you know, myself, Steven, my friend Abu, all of us. We're just looking like the men who are changing the world. And when I was looking at the picture, I said, wow, who gave me this coat? Because it wasn't a suit. It was looking like something that was welded. You understand me? But then it was just, see, his perception. But things have transformed. What I'm saying is that I can never go back to those days of wearing that type of suit again. That's transformational living. God has called you to live a transformed life. Transformation also means to go from the inside and bring on the outside. The Bible says in Philemon chapter 1, I think verse 6, the communication of your faith being made effectual by what? The acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, there are good things that are in you in Christ Jesus. True or false? It's growth and transformation that will bring them out and make them a reality in your life. So if you see a Christian who is not growing, he begins to live a life that sometimes doesn't even look better than that of an unbeliever. The unbeliever falls sick, he falls sick. The unbeliever is struggling, he's struggling. He's even begging the unbeliever sometimes. Do you get me? There are some Christians like that. The only reason they are saved is heaven. Because earth-wise, in their earth work, permit me to say, they are useless. Meanwhile, there's a lot of treasure buried in them called Christ. So it takes growth to bring out what God has deposited on the inside of you. Are you with me? Glory. So let's look at the three kinds of Christians. There are three kinds of Christians mentioned in the New Testament. The first is what we call baby Christians. Baby Christians. And don't get me wrong, every church will always have baby Christians. We always have these three kinds of Christians. But what we are saying is that you choose where you want to be. Because every healthy community always has babies and aging people. Now, turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Well, we read a while ago. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Now, he says, as newborn babes. So the first kind of Christians are the people we call baby Christians. Who are baby Christians? People who just got saved. People who just born again. Their Christian experience is what? Is new. Those are baby Christians. And the same way babies sometimes can't tell their left from their right, the same way baby Christians can't tell their left from their right. A baby Christian can get born again this way and be drinking beer tomorrow morning. But it's a Christian. If you don't attend quickly to a baby, the baby can even play with poo poo. But you are no more a human being than that baby. So we have baby Christians. Newborn babes. When we have meetings and people commit to, you know, receiving Christ in their heart, we call such people what? Baby Christians. But you should not remain there. Tell your neighbor, don't remain there. You know, some people are still playing with spiritual people up and down. And you ask them, when did you get born again? Ah, I got born again. I remember I was in my 200 level. When did you get born again? Just after secondary school. Now you are married with children. Second category of Christians are carnal Christians. Carnal Christians. They go to church, they read their Bibles. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Carnal Christians. Verse 1. Now you're going to see some very interesting things. He said, and I, brethren, couldn't do what? Could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Look at what it says next. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able. Let me tell you one of the ways you detect baby Christians and carnal Christians. You are discussing some spiritual things sometimes and they are aloof. Talk about fashion, they come alive. Talk about, you know, they come alive. The moment you say, hey, I saw this thing in scripture the other day. Okay. You see, their interest just dies. Then the obvious say, hey, you say you're a Christian. Can you come and pray for this? But they say, I'm not a pastor. Because there are certain spiritual truths they can't handle. If you start talking about gifts of the spirit, they start interpreting it as talent. One day, I asked my office staff. I asked one of them, I said, come and talk to me about the power gifts and the revelative gifts. He said, what are those? I said, how did you start working in this office? He said, okay. Pastor, you are talking about word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Okay, those things. I remember, I think word of knowledge is the one that the thing happened before. You know, you can, because you can test depths from words. Word of knowledge is that one, but that, I remember, word of knowledge is when something has happened before. Okay, no, word of wisdom is the one is in the future. I think it's like prophecy, you see. They don't have a mastery over truths. And if somebody is talking about spiritual things in that manner, guess what? He will not know how to apply them. And when the person begins to have those experiences, he will not know what it means. That's why some praise and worship leaders are just praise and worship performers. Because you can tell that, look, the anointing has come, but they don't know what to do. You know, some people don't. Glory to God. One day somebody was leading worship and the presence of God was tangible and I knew what God was saying. People were savoring it. All of them said, just give the Lord a shout. I said, this is not the time to give the Lord a shout. It is lack of what? Understanding. The person is plastic. And I told them in worship, I said, if you could take more time and pray, and you set your heart to minister, you will be more powerful. So when we're leaving, you know, somebody in the car with me said, Pastor, you noticed it. He said, as I'm a spiritual man. The Bible says spiritual man judges all things. That means you come to a place, there are things you can test. But you know what carnal means? Sense ruled, worldly, flesh. He said, oosh, I can feel the presence of God. Who told you that it's feeling that determines God is around? So if you go to a place and there's no musical equipment, does that mean the presence of God was not there? Which keyboard was Jesus playing? One of my pastors, anytime they bring new equipment or people come and play, you ask him, how was service? It was great. When church started, anytime there's no equipment, say, oh, church, you thank God. You see? No depth. So Paul said, look, there are certain things I would have loved to say to you. And can I speak to someone? The more you rise in life, you discover that you will come to realms where the only language people can understand goes beyond degrees and certificates. Depths will begin to connect with depths. I'm talking, you'll be dealing with occultic people that can tell that there's a debt you are connecting to that they can also reach out to. Listen, Joseph came and spoke. And Pharaoh now got up and said, whom can we entrust with this? Who has the spirit of the gods? What he was saying is that, where this guy pulled this thing from? Where he pulled this thing from? It's not ordinary. It's not ordinary. This thing came from somewhere. But you see, such depth and understanding, it comes with practice over time. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now, you were not able to receive it. He didn't say God didn't give it. He said you couldn't receive it. So carnal Christians lack capacity to receive. Say you couldn't receive it. He said, and even now you are still not able. So can I ask a question? What is it you want that you have not developed capacity to receive? You have developed mental capacity. Are you with me? You have developed physical capacity. But could it be that you lack spiritual what? Capacity to receive? So sometimes you can have big brands but little substance. You'll not be able to receive spiritual things. Then look at what it says. It says, for you are still carnal. Notice, you are still carnal. Meaning, they were supposed to have left there. He is still asleep. Meaning, he should be waking up. You are still carnal. Still carnal. Then see the indices of carnality. For where they are what? Are you not carnal and behaving like men? Hi, Pastor Doctor. Is there any problem with you and Sister Charity? No, we're just maintaining distance. Carnality. Sometimes I wish I wrote the Bible. Amen. Say, can't you let that thing go? Do you know what happened? Envy. You can't celebrate with others, though, if the spotlight is not on you. See, spiritual maturity is not praying in tongues for hours. So. It's not falling under God's power. You can lift your hands like this and everybody will be lying down. You are a baby. Because all those manifestations are just simple graces. It's grace. You don't cultivate it. It's maturity you cultivate. Noah, was he not drunk? when his sons came and his son came and looked at his nakedness and announced it to his brothers, when he got up from his drunk state, did he repent? Before he caused harm? From his hangover, he just got up and said, hey, who was laughing when I was naked? He just gave it to Ham, and it was so. Why? He did not buy fatherhood. It's given to him by grace. Did your father work to be your father? No, he's just your father. It's grace. Strive, envy. Come on. I know these competitions and all that shows immaturity. See, anything you do that you lose track of where you are going and you begin to chase another person's track, just shows the peak of your immaturity. Two Christians can be doing the same business and not talking. You stole my customer. We're quiet. Somebody said, where did that come from? It's immaturity, it's carnality. You can't even move on to certain things. I was thinking yesterday, hello. A pastor comes to town, he doesn't want another pastor to come to town. The pastor comes to town and says he's coming to steal his members that he worked for with his sweat. But if you drive just down this street, there's Chicken Republic, there's KFC, there's Kilimanjaro, Easy Bike, call all of them. Drumstick, Anti-Ajobi, and guess what? They are not fighting. On one street, they are not fighting. And guess what? They are all serving food. They are selling food. There's even Mama Poo, thank you. You know why they are able to stay like that? They are not just on a mission. They have a vision. It's a vision that carves a niche for you. That's why if you want real drumsticks, you don't go to Kilimanjaro. They have a vision. There's something they are specializing in that if you want, that is where you will go. As much as we are selling food, we have the best dish. That's why it makes me laugh when you ask some people, what are you doing? They say, what's your vision? To win the whole world. How can you say the vision of your church is to win the whole world? Is that a vision? Is the church as a whole not called to reach the world? So who can you reach best? Amen. Amen. Then all these divisions begin to come. You are not kind of I'm behaving like men. You see? So you are behaving like men. Glory. Behaving like men. Ordinary men. When you quarrel and you backbite, ordinary man, ordinary woman. When the sum total of your conversations is another person, ordinary people. There are people who talk about everybody except themselves. And they are the ones that have a problem. That Ilani told us last Sunday, backbiters are always at the back. You can't backbite somebody from the front. I remember some years ago I was in a particular community and we had all these women talking about me. I'm not saying old girls, I'm talking about women. Talking about me. And so one day somebody met me and said, Pastor, what did you do to these women? They hate you so much. And they were talking about you. And so I started laughing. He said, you're laughing? If you hear the things they said about you, I said, I don't want to know. I said, if three women can leave their families, go and sit in one place, and I'm the subject of their conversation, I am very important. They should do more of that. Today I look at them, the only thing that has added to those women is age. And they are Christians. Tell them about grow up. For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, Are you not carnal? If Sam is leading worship, I like to be in church. But anytime that other lady is leading worship, please inform me so I know when to come to church. That's carnality. Yeah, these are conversations in church. That's carnality. They say, why? I don't connect. That's childishness. That's carnality. You know what? You are ruled by what? Senses. You know how you know a carnal Christian? If he doesn't appeal to what they see, if he doesn't appeal to what they hear, if he doesn't appeal to how they feel, they cannot receive it. That's at the moment they come into a zone where they cannot see, feel, hear, touch. They say, God is not there. So one of the things you hear carnal Christians say is, God, where are you? If you knew what scripture says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, you will never be asking such questions. God, why? God has left me. God has left me. He has left me. See how big God is. Where can he leave you to? Amen. Then the final one is spiritual Christians. Who is a spiritual Christian? Somebody who lives his life by the dictates of God's Spirit, in obedience to God's word, has fellowship with God. Amen. Amen. Notice, I didn't say perfect Christians. There are no perfect Christians. You know what I've noticed over the years? That it's not how long you've been born again, but how well you've been walking with him. Do you have Passion Translation? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to read the Passion Translation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to read the Passion Translation to us. He says, brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I found it impossible to speak to you as those who are spiritually mature people, for you are still dominated by the mindset of the flesh. Amen. Spiritually mature people. So quickly, let's run through this. Amen. How do you move from where you are to where God wants you to be spiritually? Now, that word transformation, that word metamorphosis, got a hold of my spirit, and that's where I want to build this teaching from. Because the closest example of metamorphosis or transformation is in the life cycle of a butterfly. Are you getting me? Don't know how many of you ever got to pick the egg of a butterfly and nurture it till it flew out of your glass. We did it in primary school. We're taught to recognize the egg, and then you keep observing it by the tree till it becomes the larva. Are you getting me? It gets into pupa stage, and then I think I probably observed one for a very long time because they kept dying. So none of you ever did that? Okay. Theoretically. Okay. Amen. Sorry, maybe you went to LGA. Sorry for asking too much. But. Amen. Spiritual transformation. You can look at the life of the butterfly and learn spiritual transformation. Say amen. Amen. So the first stage is a stage called the egg. This is when a life is conceived. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Message Translation. This is where we all start as Christians. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, Message Translation. I love the way Message puts it. You see, when someone gets born again, he says, now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets what? A fresh start.
Amen.
Gets a fresh start. Is created new. The old life is gone. A new life burgeons. Look at it. Praise the Lord. This is the first point of spiritual transformation. When a man hears the gospel and receives it. One of the things I discover about conception is that sometimes when it takes place, you can be ignorant of it. I was pregnant, I didn't even know. Are you getting me? But whether you had any experience or not does not change the experience. If all of us here to talk about our spiritual walk with God when we got born again, you'll be shocked. People have different stories. I know some people got born again in tears, crying. I know others who got born again by just shouting Jesus. Now, does that mean one person's experience is more genuine than the other? No. You must stop judging by the flesh. Ken Hagin said one day a man came into church and sat down. The man was known to be a street hooligan. So when he came to church, people left the seat where he was sitting. They left him with a roll. They're wondering what this bad fella is in church. So in the course of the pastor's message, he now walked straight to the pastor in front and screamed, Jesus! You know, with his, and got up and left. So the pastor was wondering, ushers, everybody, they were happy he left church. So the following Sunday, he was in church. And he kept coming to church with his Bible. He would come and sit down. So one day the pastor went to him and said, would you like to make Jesus the Lord of your life? We noticed that you've been coming to church, and would you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life? He said, I already did that. He said, no, we mean, would you like to be saved? He said, I'm saved. He said, so when did you get saved? Said, you were preaching the other time. You said, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I came and called the name Jesus. I've been saved since. You see, the pastor was preaching something he didn't know. Can I ask a question? Is his experience as genuine as your own? Who said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart? It's very real. That's like the stage of the egg. The moment somebody receives the eternal life of God, conception takes place. That's why you cannot judge people on the outside. Are you with me? If you have not known what they've heard and what they've believed. It starts there. Glory to God. Say amen if you can.
Amen.
1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1. So you might get born again in a dramatic fashion. Others might get born again in less dramatic fashion. But what does it take to be saved? You believe the word of God. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you are saved. That's why I believe there are some people that are going to be in heaven to the dismay of a lot of people. They might not have grown spiritually, but they were saved. What if Abacha, just before he breathed his last, said, thank you, Jesus. You are my Lord. You will all be down here. And you'll be in heaven. Listen, God is working at getting more people in heaven than in hell. So the moment someone believes the word of God, conception takes place. That's what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. It says, knowing knowing, now listen, knowing that you were not redeemed with what? Corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct, which aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Next verse says, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God. I want you to notice, he said Jesus was crucified from the foundations of the earth. See, what is he talking about here? Redemption. He's telling them how they got saved. That you did not get saved because you wore some fine jewelries. You did not get saved because you changed your clothes. You didn't even get saved because you started following some sets of traditions which you received from your father. Listen, keeping the words of elders does not equate to salvation. You say, that's not what brought salvation. You know, you say, I started listening to the elders now. It doesn't mean you are saved. That's what he's saying here. He said, that's not what led to salvation. He says, but you were redeemed. He said, what brought redemption to you is that there was a lamb that before the foundations of the earth, he was slain. What he was doing is that he's taking them to the origin, where it started. He's saying that, look, this is where it started. A lamb was slain. You believe. He said, who through him, do what? Believe in God. You cannot believe in God outside Jesus. You can't believe in God outside Jesus Christ. You can change certain behavior, but you cannot believe in God outside Christ. Who through him believe in God, who raised him? And look at what you believe. What is it you believe? You believe that God raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. Verse 22 says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. 23 says, having been born again. Tell your neighbor, I've been born again. Having been born again, not of what? Corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. My origin is the word. What is getting them to see is that, hello, Jesus was crucified. He paid for your sins. Then God raised him up to glory. Then that whole incident is packaged into a word. It's packaged into a word that you heard. The moment you heard it, he's saying that of that experience is in the words that you heard. And as you heard it, are you with me? It transformed you. It means he reached down to where you were coming from and changed your origin. See, why is this very important to spiritual growth? If you don't know what you have been, if you don't know where you have been regenerated from, you cannot grow any other way. Did you get what I'm saying? If you were regenerated from God's word, you can't grow outside God's word. Your physical body was made from the dust of the earth. You cannot grow your body without the earth. That's why everything that brings growth to your body is produced from this earth. It's from the earth. Okay? It's your origin that determines your growth. You cannot get born again from God's word and live on ebony magazine. Do you understand what I'm saying? You need to go back to the root. Where did this whole thing begin from? How did you get born again? You heard something. That means you are going to be sustained in growth through hearing. Oh, Kai, that means when I look into the Bible, anything the Bible says is who I am. I was preaching in Union Agric, I told them. I said, this prosperity that I'm chanting like this, I was chanting it when I was a student in this school, and I'm not chanting it any less. That right now I can preach and go and sleep inside an AC room, but it was not like that before. Even when I was sweating the hot sun in this Union Agric, I was preaching the same thing. See, it is what gave birth to me that transforms me. So listen now. The first thing in spiritual growth is that you must be able to find your identity in where you were originated from. Most of the problems Christians have in their spiritual walk with God is that they have an identity problem. They have an identity problem. They don't know who they are. The Bible says, you've been born again, not of a corruptible seed. Have you thought of that? Do you know what corruptible seed means? Corruptible seed means a seed that can die. He said, but you have been born again from an incorruptible seed, meaning that what gave birth to you has defied death. Thank you, sir. It is resistant to death. I am a farmer. We look for seeds that are resistant to diseases. You know why? The moment we take that seed and we plant it, and it begins to grow, no disease can affect that plant. You know why? The seed from which that plant came is already what? Disease resistant. It is a seed of God. No, you didn't hear me. It's a seed of God. The Bible says an incorruptible seed of the word of God. It says that word does what? It lives and abides forever. Because I came from a word that lives and abides forever. Arome lives and abides forever. Wait, why do you think you are going to live forever? It's because you came from a word. You came from God. And if you stay by that word, are you getting me? Death will not have a part in your life. That is how it happens. Oh, I reject sickness. No, you didn't hear me. I reject sickness. I reject poverty. You know what? These things are not in the seed. They are not in the seed from where I came from. This is not Tokula sperm at work anymore. This is the very life of God, the sperm of God. Give me verse 23 Amplified. The egg might not look like a butterfly, but the butterfly is in the egg. There are different eggs, though. There are different eggs. But it's not every egg that will produce a butterfly. He says, you have been regenerated. What does regenerate mean? Let's break it down. English. To regenerate means to generate again. That's what it means. It means that you generate something. They say, go back and regenerate it. Or to bring from somewhere. That's why you have a generator. So that you can bring power from it. You generate power. You put it on, then it begins to bring something out. So if you look at the word generate, what you see is the word gene. And what is a gene? Thank you. It's the basic part of the human cell that is responsible. Are you getting me? For identity, for personality. That means your character. That means in your gene. This is your color. Except you buy cream. Are you getting me? It's inside a gene. Are you with me? That means whatever you are going to become when you become 21 years, whatever you are going to become when you become 50 years, it's in that invisible thing that cannot be seen that is called a gene. It is a basic component that begins to determine the color of your hair. Even the way you act, even the way you think, it's in a gene. So it's from that gene that this grown man is produced. In the same way, your spiritual walk with God is going to be produced from your gene. And that gene is the word of God. He says, you have been regenerated. Why did he use the word regenerated? I was first of all generated from a mortal sperm. What was that mortal sperm? Tokula. That's why they say I look like my father. They say maybe I even talk like him. People look at my son and say, Pastor Arome, you know, Sammy looks like you. He cannot look like you. Why? It's something from me that was extracted. And from him, everything for him. In fact, somebody was telling me the other day, I was looking at Sammy talk. I said, see, Pastor, I have never taught him. Follow. I didn't say, Sammy, when you want to talk people, talk like this, or talk like this. See. Johanna's bow leg is from the father. It's not surgical. Something was extracted from the father. It's already him. He will grow into it. Am I talking to someone? He will be growing from it as they are feeding him. It's there. Oh,
of good news. There's also a God gene. That's what scripture is saying. There's a God gene. And the Bible says the new creation is what? It's produced. That's why it uses the word regenerate. Means first of all, you were produced from a mortal origin. Then God now went and extracted a part of him. It's from there that this eternal life was given to you. That's why when a believer has a basic identity problem, no matter where he goes, he cannot grow. See, when I see the kind of seminars and programs that are organized for believers, are you me? I say, oh, it's an insult on divinity. You have been regenerated, born again, not from a mortal origin, seed or sperm, meaning that there is a supernatural origin. Is it but from one, from an origin that is what? Immortal. Let me see where cancer will come from. Let me see where failure will come from. Let me see where defeat will come from. Maybe your mind is more tilted towards your physical origin. But spiritual growth cannot start without identity. That is immortal by the ever-living and lasting word of God. Kai, can I speak to you? If you know the word of God, you are made for life. Bishop John Akpami said, if you marry God's word, Satan will divorce you. There is nothing as powerful as when a believer discovers who he is. This is a basic level, though. This is a basic level of spiritual growth. Knowing who you are. Saying, this is who I am in Christ. This is what I have in Christ. This is what I can do in Christ. And if you don't know, you know what you need to do? You go into scriptures from that origin, where you came from, and you begin to mark out those scriptures. Meet someone and say, teach me, who am I in Christ? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. After Paul said, desire the sincere milk of God's word, whereby you may grow. Look at what he says next. Amen. Look at what he says next in verse 4. He says, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Look at the next verse. You also, as what? Living stones. What is he addressing? You. How is he presenting you? He wants you to see yourself as a living stone. It's an identity thing. Are built up a what? A spiritual house. So how can cancer come to this body? How can HIV stay with this house? I have become the temple of the living God. That means Arome is a building unit of the body of Christ. Let me see how your tooth will pain you and your body will be able to sleep. That means what happens to one part of the body affects the whole body. So the day you begin to see yourself as a basic unit of this entity called the body of Christ, you will know that anything that touches you touches the body of Christ. It's identity. I say it's identity. Do you know why some Christians are fraudulent? It's identity. It's identity. I don't know which D you bring to me and say, if you put 1,000 naira, you're going to get 100,000 naira. You bring 1 million. No, I'm not greedy. Listen. Me. See, if you are not rooted in who you are, you will be tossed by every wind. That's some of you are tossed to and fro. It's not everybody that steals Nigeria money. One is standing in front of you. I know where I came from. Someone was telling me the other day, I said, Pastor Rame, the way you just say, never. I cannot. I dare not speak any other way. I know my stock. You are going to die before the end of the year. Pastor, night vigil. You say, I'm going to die. You see, the problem is identity. You don't know that immortal seed. Started business. just because 3-4 customers did not come, or you didn't get anybody to buy your product in 6 months. You say it's not working. It's you that open your mouth and say it's not working. Lord of the breakthrough. Lord of the breakthrough. Do something new in my... How many new things will he do? If any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Have you finished digesting that one? A holy priesthood. To offer our spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Then he says, therefore, it is also contained in scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. That means there is no shame in this vocabulary. The other day I heard a man of God say something. Kai, did he enter into my brain and split it open? He said, how can you say that that thing didn't work, so you are ashamed? He said, then you are not in faith. There is no shame with the believer. That I went to do something, it didn't work out. Are you getting me? It's the thing that didn't work out. There's no shame. Maybe you don't know who you believe. You don't know who you believe. Let me tell you what happened to us a few days ago. I don't know what happened. The gauge of the car was misbehaving. I told Pastor, I said, the way this car is behaving, this fuel, let's get to the nearest filling station. Since I've been driving that car, it has never gone over me without taking me to my destination. But that day, as we got to the filling station where there was somebody fueling his car, I was behind. As the guy finished, Pastor Steve started the car. The car refused to stop. So they came and helped us push it. I said, Kai, oh. So I was talking to my wife. Later that evening, I said, I was so embarrassed today. He said, what happened? I said, imagine, before I finished at the filling station. I said, but we're already there now. I said, no, they helped us to push it a little before we were able to fuel it. He said, I was embarrassed. He said, Christians are never embarrassed. Kai, I just got up from it. I said, yes, so Kai, what is the embarrassment? Before I finish or no before I finish, I know what the word says. That's what the scripture is. It says, who you believe on him. You know, some of you are so filled with shame, you don't know what the word says. You will not be put to shame. He will by no means. No, I love, but he will by no means. You cannot believe God and die. You cannot believe God and fail. You cannot believe God and say it didn't work. He will by no means be put to shame. By no means. An immortal origin. By no means be put to shame. Verse 7. Because I must enter that verse 8. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to all these unbelievers, the stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. But to us, see, an unbeliever will say, you know, they will come and do all those. That's why some of you don't know the power of God's word. You watch all kinds of ungodly comedy. Somebody will come and say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. You will be laughing at God's word. What the Bible has said about you, they are making mockery of it. Are you getting me? And you are sitting there and you are saying that a merry heart doeth good like medicine. That's why when you find yourself in a similar situation, when you are reading that scripture, even you find it difficult to believe. Nobody makes fun of scripture and I laugh. It's not comedy to mock the word of God. It's not, I don't know, maybe that's your idea of fun. But somebody is mocking the word of God. But I will show you in our next class. I'm going to show you that you know why some of you trivialize God's word. You've not had experiences from God's word. You've not been able to generate testimonies from God's word. That's why when they are saying that the word of God can prosper somebody, when you have a million naira a month job, you know, there's a tendency to say, boy, see, if you have not seen money before, and this word brought money out for you. Even when you have a billion naira, you will know that where this thing comes from is this word. Oh. You must be able to go out with God's word and come back with testimonies. So that you can say that which we have seen, that which we have heard, that which we have handled. I was talking to my wife the other day. I said, but we can just get this thing from you. He said, no. We are going to believe God. Let me shock some of you. I'm the general overseer of Christ Family Ministries now. But I said, church finances, from personal finances, 12 of us. There are times I will be in I will be in a spot. I don't even sign the checks.
And the devil just want to say, ah, go there and the geo now, extract something there and help yourself.
I said, the person that does not have access to this money, how does the person do? The person believes God. Aaron may go and believe God. Some of you need to put salary away sometimes and say, look, I lock this money up and trust God. Some of you can't run business, so you don't have faith. That's why you can't run a business. So you can't separate yourself from that business. Somebody comes and makes a purchase. You made profit of 2 million naira. Whoop! Getting me? You just blow it. You can't put that money somewhere and say, look, I'm going to go back to scripture and do it the old way, the old traditional rugged way. If you have 2 million naira and everybody will know, you come into church. Are you getting me? You're coming next week. Everybody knows. Then the next time you're looking for money to eat. Because you have forgotten those rudiments of confessing God's word. You know, some of you, when you got born again, you used to write it on the wall. Now, you don't write on the wall again. Are you getting me? They say, where do you write it? I now write it on my heart. I write it on my heart. You fool. Are you getting me? You write it on your heart. When you got born again, you used to love God's word. You will read anything in church. Now, why couldn't you come to, you know, I couldn't really come to church because, you know, one of the signs that you are backsliding is lack of hunger. Before, if you don't read your Bible for a day, you can't say, but now, you will not read it on Monday. You say, it's okay, it's already in my heart. When someone comes, you can even make a correct theological argument. Another day again. That's why when Satan now bumps on you at a point in time, the only thing you'll be saying is that, my pastor said that this month is the month of hallelujah. They say, where is the scripture from? See all those scriptures Pastor Steve sends. Death is swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians 15. Some people didn't even read it. Oh. Sometimes the speed with which some people make comments, it just shows to me they didn't even read it. This man just posted this in barely 3 seconds. You already say, praise God. What are you praising God to? You're just trying to make people feel. One day I posted something. Someone just put a smiley and he was dancing. I said, you didn't read it. He says, I read it. I said, you're lying. I said, it's not the Holy Ghost that revealed it to me. As I knew how many times I read this thing before I posted it, how could you have read it? Were you sitting here writing it? It's okay, yeah, correct, sir. I knew how many times, I knew how long it took me to read this thing before I posted it. And I've barely posted it, I just sending smiley, I'm running up. What are you running for? I said, don't look, don't try to make a caricature of what you're doing. It's your life. Identity, but you. Verse 29, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation. A wicked French king was overthrown. True story. So they said he was overthrown. They killed him. They killed the queen. And they found his son in hiding. You know, the boy. So they picked the boy. So they wanted to kill the boy. In fact, they wanted to wipe the man's family. They now picked the boy. He was about 6 years. So one woman now came up and said, don't kill him. That if you kill him, are you getting me? Angels will receive his soul and take him to heaven. That they should take him and give him to whores, prostitutes, and put him with wine bibbers. Are you getting me? He said, let him stay with them so he will learn to curse. And let's saturate his soul with sin so that when he dies, he will go to hell. What a wicked woman. He said, if you just kill him, you'll go to heaven. They took this boy, took this 6-year-old boy, put him with prostitutes, put him with kings. They couldn't get him to say one swear word. So one day the man got very frustrated and started insulting him and started using curse words. Cursed his father, cursed his mother, cursed his family. He now told the man not to waste his time. He said, you can never in a million lives get me to talk like that. I am royalty. He says, strip me, 6-year-old, strip me, take whatever I want, but you can never get me to talk like that. I am I'm royalty, I'm royal blood. We don't talk like that. Conditioning. Can I speak to you? Until you identify with your source, you cannot grow into who God wants you to be. You know, sometimes I still sip small. I still go to club. You see, all this clubbing is an identity issue. What am I going to find inside club now? See, can I say something to someone? I don't miss club. There was a time maybe I used to like it. I miss club. There's something I see in an unbeliever that I'm like, wow, I'm missing something. Missing what? Sometimes when I look at some Christian, I say, what are you missing there now? That's why we pray, oh, that your eyes will be open to see who you are. They say, so-and-so person is coming to town. Hey, are you getting me? You are there. Benny Hinn is coming to town. You are there. Two-Face is coming. Ah, him too. Are you getting me? You are there. This person is coming. You are there. I don't hide and play secular music. Then you start asking questions. Is anything wrong? Is anything wrong with alcohol? What you are looking for alcohol is just an identity issue. Somebody asked me that. Is it okay if you just take some alcohol to keep your head light? I say, is it heavy? Why? If you have a heavy head, I don't have a heavy head. Maybe you have never taken time to pray in the Holy Ghost. See, meditating God's word is therapeutic. No, there's no way you can take scriptures and put them in your heart, pray in the Holy Ghost, and you'll be sleeping with a heavy head. And you're not even the G.O. You don't know who you are. When a prince does not know who he is, he will live the life of a pauper. Let's stand up. So that is the beginning stage. That egg, when something is formed. In our next class, we'll move to larva. Don't remain at egg. Can I advise somebody? Go back to the basics. Go back to the basics. Take your Bible and start doing morning devotion again. Do morning devotion again. You know that morning devotion is do? Go and do morning devotion. Carry your note and read it. Carry outline, read it. Remind yourself. That's how to slay in life. Oh. Sisters, now you hear me? You say you're a Christian babe and you don't know a Christian word. It's true now. You want to get married. What does the Bible say about marriage? You can't trace your origin to the mortal origin. What does the Bible say about marriage? If the guy is showing signs of this, you dump him. You say, yeah. You're a man. You say you want to settle down now. What do you know by settling? I told somebody recently. I said, don't be angry at what I'm going to tell you. Be who you want to marry. I was talking to the brother. You cannot be misbehaving then begin to trust God for a lady that goes on her knees. You think God is wicked. You can't plant mango and expect to go and harvest oranges. This is not works. This is life. As if you want to marry a girl that fears God, you too start fearing God. You can't just come. You can't just, you know, are you getting me? Do anyhow. Then say, but God.
Thank you for listening. Messages are absolutely free. For downloads, please visit us at www.christfamilyministries.org. That's www.christfamilyministries.org. Or call 090-300-00413 for info on ministry materials. It's one gospel, one faith, reaching one person at a time, and together we're filling the earth with the beautiful message of our Lord Jesus Christ, presenting every man mature in Him.